Enterprise 24. Emily's here with the press review. She's starting off with coverage of the rift between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin we saw yesterday. What do you have for us, Emily?
Well, the tit-for-tat comments were widely discussed yesterday in the press, but I think the BBC sums up yesterday's lesson in diplomacy pretty well. Kremlin calls Trump emotional after US president says Putin is crazy. The article says that the Kremlin suggested that Trump was showing signs of emotional overload after he called Putin absolutely crazy. Trump's comments came after Russia launched the largest drone assault on Kyiv in 3 years, which killed several civilians. Now, the New York Times is also covering this story here. They have a slightly more critical view of the American president. They say that although he condemned the killings, he hasn't made Putin pay the price. This article says it isn't the first time that Trump's good relationship with Putin has gone sour. Just a few weeks ago, the president posted on Truth Social, "Vladimir, stop," after some other strikes. But this article says that Trump has never followed through with his warnings. It says the result is, quote, "a strategic void in which Trump complains about Russia's killings, but is unwilling to make Putin pay even a modest price." Meanwhile, CNN is suggesting that it might be Trump is the one who might have changed. It also highlights Trump's record of empty threats, as they call it, but says that the president might be shifting his perspective on what looks like an increasingly futile US effort to find peace in Ukraine. It says that amid all his anger and bluster about Putin, Trump might choose to walk away. Now, obviously, this latest tiff has inspired cartoonists worldwide. Let's have a look first at this cartoon in the Times here. Trump pushing Putin whilst holding him back at the same time, saying it he ain't worth it, honey bun. The Guardian's cartoonist here, Emma Barron, also with her interpretation of this latest episode of the bromance therapy.
Stay to Jerusalem for this next story. Those marches and celebrations that we told you about earlier for Israel's Jerusalem Day. What have the papers got on this?
Well, let's have a look at the Israeli press on this. The Jerusalem Post had those marches on their front page there. They had this rather peaceful looking photo of celebrants waving the Israeli flag for Jerusalem Day, the celebration of the 1967 Six-Day War. But other papers in Israel were covering those marches in a completely different way. Let's have a look at the Times of Israel here. They reported that celebrations weren't as peaceful as you would think from reading the front page of the Jerusalem Post. This article says that far-right protesters chanted death to Arabs and held up banners calling for the expulsion of Palestinians. Now, the left-leaning paper Haaretz is also reporting on these here. They have a photo of that banner in this article. This says that the hate-filled Jerusalem march, that's a quote, demonstrated the far-right's true goal for Gaza. This article is extremely critical of the celebrations. It calls the participants, quote, racist, far-right religious nationalists who showed up to celebrate the most tasteless date on Israel's holiday calendar.
Something different for you now. Emily's going to take us to Namibia, which is going to be celebrating Remembrance Day tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, let's have a look first at the Namibian Daily New Era. They have this front page today reminding everyone that Remembrance Day is tomorrow. And that's because it's the first time that Remembrance Day is being celebrated, honouring the victims of the genocide against Namibia's Herero and Nama populations between 1904 and 1908. It's thought that up to 110,000 people were murdered by the German Empire. And now the 28th of May marks the day that the German colonial administration decided to close concentration camps in Namibia. Now, it's also being covered in this German site, Stern, here. Their headline reads, "Namibia celebrates first national day of remembrance of the genocide perpetrated by Germany." In May 2021, Germany recognised the atrocities as being genocide for the very first time, but they did not apologise. This article says that although the German government pledged to provide reconstruction aid worth 1.1 billion euros, it ruled out paying reparations. The agreement recognised genocide in a historical sense, but not actually under international law, meaning that no reparations or compensation can be claimed from that agreement.
Staying in Africa, Eritrea is holding a small football tournament for the 32nd anniversary of the independence of the country.
Yes, exactly. Well, this is a story in the French sports paper L'Equipe today. The Red Sea Boys, Eritrea's national football team, are going to be playing again for the first time since January 2020. The country is hosting a small tournament where they'll face South Sudan and Niger. 4.5 years ago, Eritrean President Isaias Afwerki banned international football games to avoid players escaping abroad. Now, Le Monde is also talking about this little tournament here. They compare Eritrea to North Korea because of its repressive and authoritarian regime. This article features an interview with French historian Gérard Prunier, who doubts that this tournament is a sign of newfound openness, and he calls the dictatorship as fierce as ever.
Finally from Emily, we're going to talk about that slap. This is, if you didn't see this, Emmanuel Macron and his wife Brigitte have been in the spotlight after a rather unusual video was shared on social media.
Yes, exactly. Well, the internet has been all over this story after a video emerged of Brigitte Macron slapping or shoving Emmanuel Macron as they landed in Vietnam. Nonsense, according to the president. The Élysée first said that the video was Russian disinformation created by AI before realising it was footage from the Associated Press. The president later said that they were just joking around and urged people to calm down. Now, I don't know about you, Stuart, but I have a younger brother and that looks like slightly over-eager play fighting, if you ask me.
Who knows? Will we ever know? That is, it is intriguing, isn't it? I'm inclined to think it was just a slap, but who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe there's more to it. Emily with the press review on France 24. Latest news coming up for you after the break. Do stay with us if you can.